As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Some rain about the area already this morning, and a chance for some showers here or there throughout the day. Tomorrow, more of a chance for rain, but we're starting to get into summertime now, and the hot and humid air. And if you were out yesterday, it rained for a couple of minutes in Belchase, and it just steamed. It slapped you in the face that summertime's coming. Cynthia Lee Sheng joins us now, president of Jefferson Parish, talk about some things that the voters are going to be faced with. Good morning, Madam President. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. We're doing fine. Thank you.
How was Easter at the Sheng household?
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. We had a good Easter weekend. The Easter Bunny came. The Easter Bunny came for my 20-something-year-old children, yes, and my dog as well, yes.
Did you eat any jelly beans out of the sofa cushions or not?
No. It's like a chocolate kind of Easter basket thing, you know.
I may have eaten one or two jelly beans between the chair cushions yesterday, but, you know, they weren't there that long. So let's talk about some of the things that the millages that drainage, libraries, and recreation. Take me from the get-go on this, please.
Yeah, so this is very important millages for us, and these are services that our citizens are very familiar with. This is not new. We pay these millages already, so these are renewals at the previously authorized rate, so that's why we call it, you know, millage renewals. But it's as you said, drainage, recreation, and library. We have to go every 10 years for these millages, and these are all set to expire within the next year or two. So we go out, and let me just start with drainage. It represents over almost half of our entire drainage budget. So all of the drainage projects you see, from the drainage underneath your street to the canal, you know, the canals and all of our pump stations and all of that, this millage represents about half of that operating and capital budget. And if you look at recreation and library, it really takes up, this is the bulk of where we get over 90% of our funding for recreation and library. And, you know, we have vast resources throughout the parish on both of those fronts. Recreation, we have 27 playgrounds throughout the parish. Library, we have 16 branches throughout the parish. So, again, these are millages that people know and services that people use a lot.
One thing that, believe it or not, as long as I've been doing this, it just clicked earlier this year, was that millages are never put on in perpetuity, right? Or are they?
Right. Right. No, every 10 years. Every 10 years.
What's the reason for that, do you know, in terms of good government? Why? Because here's why I'm asking, because it seems as though every 10 years, the people that are in office have to go to the voters and ask them to renew it. And for whatever reason, the voters sometimes interpret that as a new tax or that they're being overtaxed, when in fact, all it's doing is renewing what's already being collected and raised and spent on the services that they're receiving, right?
Right. And that's always our challenge, is that, you know, we have to get out and say, this is not something new. We're not asking for more money. You're already paying this. And these are services that you know, it's a renewal. And you're right, Tommy. If we were on the ballot with a new tax, it would be a challenging election for us because our education and our outreach would be a lot more difficult because we would say, no, not this one. We're not talking about that one. We're talking about this one. It gets really confusing when, you know, the voters have so many different things to vote on. So we try not to do that. We try to go out where we can just have a very clear education campaign. It doesn't get confused with other issues. But I guess, you know, from a taxpayer perspective, it just is our charter reads you go out every 10 years. I don't know how other parishes handle it, but, you know, we just have to go ask. And I guess if we're not running it properly, the voters will just say, no, we're not going to pay for that. This would be detrimental if we didn't get any of these passed because they are, you know, so important to us. All of our millages are important to us. But that's why we go out early. And then you want to go out for at least 10 years so you have planning purposes. You can go bond the money out. You can do major projects. You know, and the bond market knows, well, that they have this revenue source for the next 10 years, so it's very stable. So I guess that's why. But, yeah, that's a good question as to why 10 years or why not 15 years or why not 20 years. But I think it's probably in our charter.
You're a smart lady. I'm just curious, is that something unique to Louisiana or is that just basic government where millages are never in perpetuity?
I don't know for other local governments. You know, that you're smarter than me because I've never really thought about it. I've just always accepted in Jefferson Parish, most of our millages are 10 years. I do see them coming up regularly for other jurisdictions, but it would be curious in other states if they have these permanent ones, because if one could be permanent, we could say where we live, drainage could be a permanent one. But, you know, the difficulty with us is we collect revenues at a certain rate. And in Jefferson Parish, most of them are set, I liken it to baskets, like they're all in their own basket. Mm-hmm. So if we're down on sewer and we have an overflow for streets, I just can't move that over, even though it would probably be more efficient if I could say, look, we have a street surplus, we're down on sewerage, let's just move it. We would have to go back to the voters and say, you know, I need more for sewerage, or I need more for sewerage, go ahead and take less for streets, and we're just doing a switch. All of those. Now, I think it's really for, you know, efficiency, transparency in government and really having the citizens know this is the money that you're paying. This percentage of your property tax is going exactly here. And it's traceable, right? Than putting everything in just one big bucket and spending it from there. It's very hard to trace. So from a good government standpoint, I think it's the right thing we do. We lose the flexibility on the government side, though, but that's a good trade-off for the citizens to have.
I would think Uncle Newell could probably tell me, but it just seems like the voters could express, if they didn't like the way the money was spent, then they vote people out of office. They're not forced to.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I'm saying? You're not forced in the position of defending the millage or renewing it when, in fact, it's like, well, we're not asking you for anything more. We're just asking you to keep providing the services that we're providing. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I didn't mean to get too ethereal there. Cynthia Lee Sheng, our guest, president of Jefferson Parish, talking about a millage that's coming up. We'll talk about when that comes up on the ballot. I don't know if early voting's underway or not. If you have any questions or comments for the parish president, I'm getting a couple of texts here. 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler talking text line. Message, text, and data rates may apply. Please do not ever text and drive. 821 traffic, WWO. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Cynthia Lee Sheng, president of Jefferson Parish. Somebody wants to know what happens if the millage does not pass.
If the millage does not pass, what we would do is we would go out again. But honestly, if the millage does not pass, it's like I said, it would really severely hurt our services, recreation and library. It is the majority. It is over 90% of those budgets. So we would have to cut services to basically, you know, almost nothing.
But
totally rely on that.
I'm sorry, as you mentioned bonding out and cash flow and so forth, it would take you a while to go back. When does the current millage expire that you're asking to be renewed?
Yeah, so the current millages expire, I'm trying to think. One is before the other. I don't have that at the tip of my... But both of them, they don't expire right away. So
you got time.
2027, yeah. So the millage now will go into effect in 2027 for drainage and recreation, and then library the year after that. So we go out way early, so in case, you know, it doesn't pass, we'd be able to really try to go out again and really explain what will happen. We hope that doesn't happen, but, you know, this is why we go out early.
Somebody wants to know when the new Mike Miley pickleball courts will be open. There you go. See?
This is my existence now because, you know, I play and I know a lot of players, so you know I'm getting this question a lot. I actually have a meeting today on it. We had some issues. It's really going to be an incredible complex. It's going to be 9 courts covered. We're going to do it. It's very open play style. So the question, and which is a community-based kind of play, which is why everybody loves the sport, hopefully soon. We're just waiting for some last-minute paint to dry. We're going. I have a meeting today on the procedures we're going to have. It's coming. It's getting there soon. Within the next couple of weeks, we'll be opening that. But trust me, I get that question all the time.
Would any of this have happened?
Probably one of my friends who texted into you, Tommy, but too.
Would any of this have happened had Cynthia Lee Sheng not reimagined?
No, thank you.
Jefferson Parish?
Thank you for saying that. No, this is, remember, what we were trying to do with Recreation Reimagined is we had 27 playgrounds across the parish that were doing the same kind of thing. You know, football track, baseball, you know, and going through that whole same pattern every year. And we had the space, we had some empty gyms, and we wanted to bring in new sports. And this is exactly one of those projects we were discussing for Recreation Reimagined, bringing in kind of new sports, tumbling and archery and, look, you know, exactly, pickleball. So this is going to be a pickleball complex. We're really excited about the pickleball community. It's been waiting for a long time. We've had some delays in the construction of it. But it's going to be an incredible one, and I want it to be for everybody, for a beginner up to the most advanced. We'll have a challenge court, which will be kind of the bragging rights court, but we'll have enough space for beginners to play. So I think it's enough space to really include the best of the sport, which is everybody. And as I said, it's a very community-based sport. So
somebody
really looking forward to that.
Texted in and said, can you ask what's going on with the construction on a canal at Vets and Beverly Gardens? Not on a canal beautification list, but lots of work happening there.
I'd have to go look inside. No, I can't say that off the top of my head. It could be just maintenance or it could be some drainage project. I'm not really sure. We have a lot of projects going on throughout the parish. So, I can try to get that to you, Tommy, and
okay.
Then maybe you can
update it
on the...
Okay.
Yeah,
When is the election? When do people start voting, and when can they vote?
So early vote is going on now, so you can vote at your early voting site, but then the general election date is May 3rd, the Saturday, May 3rd. But you can early vote till this Saturday as well if you want to early vote.
All right, and real quick, your pickleball game, you mentioned beginner all the way to pro. Where were you when you started? Where are you now? Tell me what kind of pickleball
when
player
I was
you
a,
are.
Well, I started in October of 2023. I've been at it about a year and a half. I'm an intermediate player now. I mean, so, you know, you always can work on something. And I'm trying to get up there, but It's fun. It's really exciting.
You're a competitive rascal, aren't you?
I like sports. I've always liked sports. And pickleball, you can be competitive at any age.
Do you play
with
those kids?
So fun about it.
Do you play with the kids?
Huh?
Do you play with the kids?
I do. My daughter plays a lot. I can't get my son to play, but my daughter plays a lot with me. Yes.
Who wins?
So. I'd say only because I've played longer than her. I'm still a little bit better than her. She's probably, you know, going to give me a face on that one. She's coming up. She's going to surpass me pretty soon, I think, Tommy.
Thank you, President Sheng. I appreciate it. Cynthia Lee Sheng, President Jefferson Parish. They got the millages up for renewal. Nothing new. Just keep the services going. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk about the passing of Pope Francis, 8:30. Time now, WWL First News. 8:43, 17 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Monday morning after Easter, and we're joined now by Father Bruce Morrell, a Jesuit priest, professor of theology at Vanderbilt. Good morning, Father. How are you?
Well, good morning, Tommy. Fine, thank you. Hope you're doing well, too.
I am. Thanks for taking the time. I just happened to be at home yesterday working out, and I put the TV on and happened to just circumstance catch Pope Francis issuing the blessing to Rome. I forgot exactly how you say it. And I texted, took a picture of him, a screenshot, and texted it to somebody and mentioned that he did not look well at all. And then when he took the ride around the St. Peter's Square, a lot of people are saying that maybe that was his goodbye. What is the feeling among your peers right now at the passing of this Pope, Father?
Well, if I may even add to your personal story, right, it's Urbi et Orbi. The address is to the city and to the world. He was the Bishop of Rome and then for the church and the world. But I had the same reaction yesterday, how weak his voice was, and also the 14-second clip of the very brief reception of J.D. Vance. He almost seemed, he just seemed very weak, yeah. But yes, the reaction, certainly among my fellow Jesuits, and but more importantly, as we're members of the Roman Catholic Church and serve it, it's of genuine sadness, but also great gratitude. For a remarkable man who gave us, I think, quite unique papacy, and wants that vision to be carried on.
When it comes to the changes that Pope Francis made, I don't know, or were there any changes, Father? Did he just kind of say some things that were more welcoming to people? Because I guess the question is, did anything substantially change in the Catholic Church despite the Pope's comments?
Right. And that is an apt assessment. He did not change anything that had to do with official church teaching, let alone the most important dogmatic teaching. But changes, this may not be very inspiring religiously, but extremely important. He was elected, among other things, to reform the Vatican bureaucracy. It's called, which includes the Roman Curia, which means the court. So the church also, the Vatican is a nation state, but also the church is an international organization. One of the things that really defeated Pope Benedict and added to his decision to resign all those years ago was a final report that he'd ordered on the financial corruption in the Vatican bureaucracy, and he said he just didn't have the strength to oversee that. This Pope has, and he faced some real hard headwinds, but that's one key thing. Now, I know your question was more about doctrine and practice, and it is an apt description that his work was much more pastoral and a concern for real individuals and groups. But for people who are hoping for example, opening up a married priesthood and parish priests, things like that, women deacons, et cetera, no, he never really changed, even despite people expecting so, any of these structural religious forms.
When it comes to Catholic teaching, Father, I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm seeing something on Twitter here, somebody talking about Bishop Athanasius Schneider, who says people are invading Europe, invaders who want to Islamize Europe, they want to destroy historical culture in Europe, and they're saying that it was Radio Genoa, so whoever that is, saying we need this guy to be Pope. And I don't mean that disrespectfully at all, but what drives what in terms of the church? Is it and the election of a new pope? Is it the curia and the direction they want the church to go in? Is it divine providence? Take me through that whole process, if you would.
Yeah, well, you know, we who are believers of the faith in the church certainly want to, we do believe that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is a guiding in power and force in these processes. But there's also our belief that God or divine grace, the Spirit, works with and through human nature. And so it's a mixed bag how these things play out. With regard to a next pope, one of the key things that matters is the College of Cardinals who do the electing. And there's certain archbishops or bishops that have been elevated to this status. 80% of the current College of Cardinals who are of electing age, under 80 years old, 80% were appointed by Pope Francis. And so on the one hand, people would say, well, this is, you know, he's tried his best, if you will, to stack the deck, but there's no predicting exactly how this will go. Secondly, whereas the College of Cardinals even only at the time John Paul was elected, although I'm showing my age, over 40 years ago, it seems yesterday, largely the College of Cardinals were European and Italian. This pope has now made over 50% of these electors from what we would call the global south. And so it will be interesting. I think we shouldn't prejudge too quickly how this, who and how and what will come of it. But they will have to consider what they want to see in terms of continued or not continued practices, policies, and tone that our late Pope Francis did. Now, they'll each be talking to each other once they all get to Rome. And ultimately, the conclave, as it's called, the electing process, is a closed-door affair. But there'll be a lot of murmuratio. The term is quiet discussions.
Let me take a break, Father. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the job of being Pope himself, because you got to be the CEO. It's a large corporation, and going to the Vatican's financial troubles, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
You also have to be a spiritual leader. I don't know how you balance both of those. We'll talk to you when we come back. I also want to talk about the differences when it comes to Jesuits. Pope Francis was the only Jesuit pope. Is that correct?
You're quite correct.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. 8:51, 9 till 9, talking to Father Joe Morrell, who is nice enough to join us. Father Bruce Morrell, I beg your pardon, a Jesuit priest, professor of theology at Vanderbilt. 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. If you're just joining us, Pope Francis passed away overnight. Father Bruce Morrell is our guest, a Jesuit priest, professor of theology at Vanderbilt. Father, when it comes to the job of being Pope, you know, a long time ago, movie Shoes of the Fisherman, it's based on a novel, I presume you've seen it. It was made in the 60s, set in the 80s, about a priest that puts up all of the church's assets to help prevent a war with China and Russia. That seems like a long, long time ago, and it was. But the Pope is in a tough spot because he's got to do what Jesus would want him to do, but he's also got to, I guess, manage a huge corporation. Take me through that.
Yes, manage a huge corporation, and as I mentioned, even a geographically tiny but not insignificant nation state, mm-hmm. The Vatican. He's got a curia, a court, which shows you that the roots of this from the Renaissance era, and this is to operate offices. Among the most important would be the office for the doctrine of the faith. Another one is for evangelization or outreach. Another has everything to do with care for and almsgiving and support for the poor, et cetera. So these are huge operations. And then funding raised from especially the more financially strong parts of Catholicism on the globe to then support the poorer sections and the missionary work. So it's a huge bureaucracy, has its own bank, it has the whole bit as a nation state. So on the one hand, it's basically being a head of state and a corporation, as you put it, a worldwide one. And on the other hand, governing and leading a religious body and in its belief, and it's just as important, it's actual practices.
How autonomous is the office of Pope? How much leeway does he have as it relates to the Curia, et cetera?
Well, quite a bit in terms of it is in a sense we could call it a monarchy, that there the court, the Curia around him, and the orders that he gives are direct and absolute. I'm speaking now in terms of the governance, mm-hmm. okay, of, if you will, the nation state or the corporation. He places people in positions. There is a court system to investigate, which has happened during his time. People that were put on trial, certain cleric officials for malfeasance, lay people as well. But I think in answer to your question, I'm trying to not be too loquacious. The key thing is it's that kind of a government system where he singularly calls the shot.
Father, I hope you can come back. Thank you.